It to some evil things today, because we need knowledge of this, though we shouldn't dwell on it, but we should be aware of it. And most churches, unfortunately, are not aware of it. They think Satan is some kind of fairy story figure that doesn't really exist, and it's just a sort of name encompassing bad things. Well, no, Satan exists, and he's active in the world today. And most churches have very little knowledge of the supernatural. In many ways, the fact that I was very drawn into the supernatural long before I was a Christian has been quite beneficial, because I can see through a lot of things that are happening today. And I used to go to seances and so on, and join the Spiritualist Church, and they were hoping I'd become one of their mediums at one time. And I went to Transfiguration seances, all kinds of things. Very little surprises me. Then I joined the New Age movement to bring out their newspapers. And they actually knew a lot more about Bible prophecy than most Christians. They knew that there was going to be an end. This was 50 years ago, by the way, more. They knew there was going to be an end of days. They knew that there was going to, they called it the Christ consciousness was going to come back. Maitreya the Christ. And that was their job, to usher in the New Age Messiah. But the New Age Messiah is a false Messiah. We know the true Jesus is coming back, the one and only true Messiah. And it's coming very quickly, I believe, because all of these things are falling into place. We're in the end times, and the end times are moving fast. And the midnight clock, the prophecy clock, started at midnight when Israel, it started ticking faster when Israel was reborn, May the 14th, 1948, and it's speeding up. The birth pains are getting faster and more noticeable. Things are getting more powerful in the earth today. A lot of all kinds of, California had 600 earthquakes in the last few weeks, 600 earthquakes, and they're waiting for the big one. So a lot of things are happening as predicted. That's why this church does major on prophecy. It's very important that we understand what's going on. This is what Daniel was not told, as much as we know. Daniel, shut out the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end, as many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. From Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. And Michael informed Daniel that when the time came for our Lord to set up his kingdom on earth, the final kingdom that will never pass away, the prophet's sealed book would be unsealed. And we live in times when prophecy is coming true every day. Very exciting time. Although I've been talking about it and thinking about it for decades, it never really seemed as that it would really happen in my lifetime. It's happening. It's happening in all our lifetimes. And some of us are knocking on a bit, and I include myself. Right, Babel. Here it is, a woodcut. Babel was a type of the one world unity movement that is now being repeated and will end with Antichrist's brief and horrible empire on earth. Unity of state from Babel to Brussels. Babylon was a civil union of the earth's inhabitants. The tower was for pagan religious purposes. And this is the first example of world government and world religion intertwined as one. The prophet Daniel saw a vision of coming major world empires. The final evil empire, which will be destroyed when our Lord returns, is the restored Roman Empire, with 10 regions of the world supporting it. Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7, he saw these beast empires, and I won't go through them all, but the fourth beast, which is the revived Roman Empire, is described as dreadful, terrifying, and extremely strong. It devoured and crushed and trampled down, and it had 10 horns, and a little horn came up among them. Of course, Daniel tells of the fate of Babylon at Belshazzar's feast, which is a remarkable event. You can mock God so far, and suddenly there's judgment. The book of Daniel relates how they went too far with their insults to the Lord and to his people. Chapter 5. It relates the final night of Belshazzar, just before the Persian invasion. In the story, Belshazzar holds a feast, and he intends to his guests to drink from the treasures that they've stolen from the temple in Jerusalem. And they, while they do so, they'll be toasting Babylonian gods, of course, satanic objects. He then sees a hand writing on the palace wall, which basically tells him his time is up. And Daniel is called in to interpret the writing after Belshazzar's wise men are unable. Belshazzar is killed and Darius the Mede becomes king. And that's in Daniel 5, verses 30 to 31. And although Babylon is no longer a power in the world, his influence continues, and all the kind of pagan things that came from it are still out there in the world, and they're in many churches, unfortunately, and that includes some Protestant churches who have labyrinths and mystical events. And nothing's changed, you know, over the years, because the mother and child came from Babylon. The mother and child, and this one is from, on the left, it's from India, and the one on Babylon is from the left, and India is on the right, but they're very, very similar. And how can that be from places so far apart? Well, the same satanic entity was prompting all this to happen, you see. Powerful satanic entities are at work. Babylonian gods, there's some more of them. They had the mother and the child, the all-powerful mother and the helpless little child, you see, with the halo around the head. You're starting to recognize something? Astarte, the so-called Queen of Heaven, where Pat took this picture at a museum in Israel, in Dor. There's nothing new under the sun. She was worshipped by the Chaldeans. And the Hebrew form of her name is Asherah. A statue of Isis, nursing her son. This is in France, in the Louvre. Yes, she too was called Queen of Heaven. It's a name that passes down the years because Satan has got no new tricks. He doesn't originate. The old ones still work well. This image of the mother and child is the logo of a Roman Catholic school at Farnborough. There it is, the same mother and child, same image, same Babylonian spirit, right in the church today, the so-called church, the false church, the whore church, the Catholic church. Now, this is not very loving, is it? I'm not condemning Catholics. Pat's family were all Catholics. They all went to Catholic schools, and she was educated by nuns, and many of them were fine people. There's a lot of excellent people in the Catholic Church. It's the doctrine that's awful. And the trouble is, most Catholics don't even know what they believe. They haven't got a clue. If you ask them about doctrine, they wouldn't know because they just know what the priest tells them. But we are all priests and kings. We are to find out for ourselves. Look into things for yourself. And that goes for everything the speakers here say. We don't always agree on everything, as Colin said last week. But we agree on the basics, the fundamentals of the faith, and that's what's truly important. We're allowed to have some disagreements. The woman has blasphemous names. Popes are called the Vicar of Christ, which I think is blasphemous. Revelation 17. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, the bowl judgments about to be poured out, spoke to me saying, "Come here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality. And those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of immorality. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and 10 horns. The Roman Catholic Church has always held sway over numerous kings and rulers, far more, many times more, than all the other big churches and institutions of the world put together, actually. Pagan Rome made a sport of throwing thousands of Christians and Jews to the lions to be torn apart. Christian Rome slaughtered many times that number of Christians, Jews, Huguenots, and other real believers by burning at the stake people who wouldn't adopt Catholic heresies. In Spain alone, over 3 million were executed, 300,000 were burned alive. It's not exactly a doctrine of love, the Catholic Church, you know. This is what they did. People should know this. All were blessed and encouraged by the vicars of Christ. This is the whore church, drunk with the blood of the saints, Revelation 17, verse 6. Of course, the final whore church will encompass a lot of religions blended together. Work on this is going on all the time. They're coming together. And when people hear in this country say, "Oh, well, what about churches together?" I say, "Well, you mean false churches together?" That doesn't go down too well. Here is something I thought extraordinary. Pat found this for me. This is the audience hall where the popes give audience to people. And he stands right in front where the fangs of the snake are. And it's a reptilian audience hall deliberately designed to look terrifyingly like a snake. I found that very interesting. Everything they do is meaningful and significant. It does not happen by random chance. Here it is again, and someone sort of put in a serpent so you can see the likeness. The word Vatican literally means divining serpent. It's derived from Vatis, diviner, and can, a serpent. Vatican City and St. Peter's Basilica were built on the ancient pagan site called in Latin, which means hill or mountain of prophecy. So it's bound up with pagan spirituality, still is. It's the spirit of Babylon right up to date. And here is the exterior, and it ripples like a snake. It's all built to look like a snake. I find that absolutely astounding and odd, and I'm surprised that no one much comments on it, actually. The whore church is the woman riding the beast, and she is and will be based in Rome, spiritual Babylon, long the center of the world's most powerful religious organization. Queen of Heaven, many Catholic churches are called Mary, Queen of Heaven, or Our Lady, Queen of Heaven, Catholic Church. The Catholic Jerusalem Bible gives the game away. The truth is there in the Jerusalem Bible, which Pat read through. We've got it in our bookcase. It reveals in a footnote to Jeremiah 7:18, this is what the Catholics say in their own Bible if they only read it, the Queen of Heaven is Ishtar, the Assyrian goddess of fertility. That's page 1265 in their own Bible. Mary's a wonderful person, but she's not Queen of Heaven. She'd be horrified if she was permitted to learn what's going on in her name in the earth. Heaven does not have a queen. She's not the Mother of God either. Matthew 12, verse 15, no, that can't be right, 12, 15 maybe. Whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. And here we go. This is the original Tower of Babel. This is a painting by Pieter Bruegel. 5,000 years ago, this was a type of one world government. Since then, the world has mainly consisted of individual sovereign nations. Today, the ruins of Babylon are here. They're about 53 miles south of Baghdad. They comprise mostly broken mud brick buildings and debris. And of course, Saddam Hussein was boastful enough to declare that he'd rebuild it. He rebuilt Nebuchadnezzar's palace, I believe, but he didn't get very far before he was killed. Some of it's been rebuilt, but most of it is still in ruins. It's now a World Heritage Site, by the way, but some of it's been wrecked anyway because the British built a railway line through it in 1920. And then when the Iraqi war was in full swing, the Americans and then the Polish had a big camp on there, and they flattened a lot of it to make helicopter landing bases. So it's no big place of any importance today. It fell into a ruin. The city fell to the Persians in 539 BC, yet it was continuing to flourish as a center of art and education. And even when Alexander the Great fell the Persian Empire in 331 BC, he ordered that Babylon remain untouched. After Alexander's death, however, the extent to which the empire was fought over saw the inhabitants flee, and Babylon steadily fell into ruin. My belief is, and a lot of people would say no, that it will be true Babylon, but I don't really believe it will ever be fully rebuilt. Babylon hasn't been in existence for the past 2,300 years to reign over the kings of the earth. It was in ruins while Rome, the new Babylon, was reigning over numerous world leaders. 95 popes claim to have divine powers to depose kings, emperors, and leaders. Rome will not be rebuilt in Babylon. Vatican City is the heart of Europe, the coming center of world power. And how are they depicting the new Babylon? Well, this was a poster that I've shown you before, but I think it's absolutely remarkable. It was issued by the European Union. It shows the Tower of Babel being rebuilt by what looked like robotic slave laborers down here on the left. And you can see the cranes going up. And the stars interested me as someone who used to study the occult a lot, because they are occultic pentagrams. They're inverted with the central points downwards, as in witchcraft. Pentagrams were used symbolically in ancient Greece and Babylonia. So is spiritual Babylon dedicated to Satan? It starts to look like it when you see all these signs. There are many, many of them. I can show a few of them today. This is how the secular press saw it when the new Strasbourg building opened. Euro MPs lose their way in the Strasbourg labyrinth. But you can see here that right at the heart of it is a rebuilt replica of the Tower of Babel, deliberately done so. It wasn't designed by accident like that because it's left unfinished. And a secular journalist, this was at a press conference, living in Strasbourg, he asked the officials of the EU this question, why the Tower of Babel? And the official answer was, what they failed to complete 5,000 years ago, we in Europe will finish now. So that's quite interesting, that statement. They're very bold and bragging about it. And even here's a young Nigel Farage, as a boy. he was called in the secular press again, the Tower of Eurobabel, which I think, again, was a very interesting observation. That's how it is. Left unfinished and modelled on the Tower of Babel. Now, back in Brussels, this is the European Council meeting. This is where the Council of Ministers meet to decide the policy of Europe. And their spiritual inspiration, sitting right outside the building where the most important people of Europe go almost every day, is the whore on the beast, the woman riding the beast. And of course, this is the apostate church pictured as a prostitute riding the beast, the civil system of the day, in Revelation 17. That's what they think they are, and I believe them. Europe was consecrated to Mary in 1309. The shrine of Our Lady in Europa, of Europa, in Gibraltar, was renovated with your money, thank you very much. And this is what Malachi Martin, who was a Jesuit and a Vatican insider, wrote in a book about control of the New World Order. If by a sudden miracle a one world government was established, and it's coming fast, the Roman Church would not have to undergo any essential change to retain its dominant position to further its global aims. Don't forget, it's the only religious institution in the world that has embassies all around the world. No other church is permitted to do that. The Catholics have got their own embassy everywhere. And here is the Marian Shrine in Gibraltar. And Europe has been dedicated to Mary, who they call Our Lady of Europa. There it is, the mother and child straight out of Babylon. Rome is rising and the revived Roman Empire is on fast forward. I know there's problems at the moment, but you just watch. They will sort them out and settle them, and Rome will be the dominant power of the end times. I went out to Strasbourg some years back and interviewed the late Count Otto von Habsburg. He wasn't late then, of course. He was still alive and well. He's very charming, actually, very nice, because they're very good at trying to influence and sweet talk the press, you see. You go there, you'll get the red carpet and a lovely meal and all that you want and all the information you want. They're very, very aware of their image. Anyway, Otto von Habsburg, he was actually interesting. He was the head of the House of Habsburg and the most important lay Catholic in Europe. And I saw him at his office in the EU headquarters at Strasbourg. Now, the Habsburgs ruled Austria for about 650 years, and then they became emperors of Austria and of the Holy Roman Empire of the German nation. They were the most important ruling family of Europe for many hundreds of years, and still aim to be, I think. The crown of the Holy Roman Empire is to be revived. And Dr. Habsburg wrote this in his book, "Now we do possess a European symbol which belongs to all nations. This is the crown of the Holy Roman Empire, which embodies the tradition of Charlemagne, the ruler of a united Occident." Or should it be accident? He wanted an EU leader wearing the crown of Charlemagne. All this is powerfully interesting, I think. He said, "The crown represents the ties between authority and the people. True, it is the monarch who is crowned in a sacred act." There's the religious aspect of throwing all this, you see. "It should therefore be considered whether the European head of state, as the protector of European law and justice, should not also become the guardian of a symbol which, more than any other, represents the sovereignty of the European community." He also said he wanted to see Europe have a head of state elected for life. So I think that's, again, another very interesting statement. And his policies live on. He's still got family members involved. Now, again, the revived Roman Empire is something that we've been talking about for about 40 years. And when I went to America in about the year 2000, it was just before, the Americans hadn't even heard of it. But there it is. the revived Roman Empire and the exhibition in right outside the, I think it was Brussels, this one, was called the Revived Roman Empire. That was what their exhibition was all about, saying we are the Revived Roman Empire, in case anyone's had any doubt about it. It was in a circus tent, and of course, circuses are known having a lot of clowns in them as well, but there we are. And Adrian Hilton got this picture and wrote a book called The Principality and Power of Europe. The Virgin Mary, with a halo of 12 stars, here she is pictured, preparing to crown the next Holy Roman Emperor. And that is a stained glass window at Strasbourg Cathedral, dedicated to the Council of Europe. And if you go into, and I flew into Brussels Airport, and you look on the wall, there's a big mural there, and it shows the woman and the beast. This is the gateway to Brussels. And I thought, again, it's not an accident, all this brainwashing. It's incredible. The European Union flag, the stars of Mary. And this is what Leon Michel, who is the former Secretary General of the Council of Europe, said. Of course, they got their theology wrong, but that's another story. These are the stars of the woman of the apocalypse, and that's what they took for the flag of Europe. They think it's the stars of Mary, you see. Antichrist is half the end time story. Revelation 17 tells of another mysterious character at the heart of prophecy, this woman riding the beast. Who is she? Two of the final chapters of the Bible are devoted to John's vision of her, which is one of the most remarkable prophecies in Scripture. And the Bible singles out two cities on which action will center in the last days, Jerusalem and Rome, the new Babylon. And this was how the Germans celebrated the woman on the beast and Europe. On a telephone card, you could get these illustrations all over the place. I've got a lot of them, actually. The seal of the EU. Here it is, the seal. Every document of the EU is stamped with the seal of the woman riding and the beast. There is the beast, there's the woman. Not a very good picture. It's the best I could get. I have this coin. It's a Greek 2 euro coin. Again, guess what they chose? Their logo. It goes throughout. The woman on the beast. And here is another coin. This is a German EQ coin of the woman on the beast. The mother of harlots will ride the beast, the Antichrist system, Revelation 17. The woman is the ecumenical, beware of anything ecumenical, one world religion which is being formed up now. She is drunk with the blood of the saints. Bear in mind, the Church of England also persecuted and burned martyrs at the stake. The Church of England banned the Bible for about 100 years, I think it was. If I'm wrong, Pat will correct me. But the Church of England was almost as foul as the Catholic Church, and it still is a waste of space, in my opinion, though many of the people in it are good people. They should come out of it and learn some Bible study and Bible prophecy. The Christian martyrs were the saints whose blood was shed by these churches, false churches. The Roman Catholic whore church has killed tens, maybe hundreds of millions of real Christians. That's when it ethnically cleansed Europe of Protestants. That's why a lot of them fled to America. Jews, Moors, and many others. Hundreds of thousands were burnt alive or torn apart on the rack in the Inquisition under the direction of the Pope. The Vicar of Christ? I don't think so. More like Satan. Revelation refers to spiritual Babylon, the city on seven hills, which can only be Rome, which ruled the world when John wrote Revelation. A woman rides the beast, Revelation 17. John sees the judgment of the great harlot, spiritual Babylon. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. And of course, this is by far the greatest Christian church the world has ever seen, although it's a false Christian church. Purple and scarlet are the colours of the robes of Rome's cardinals. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. All of this is filthy and vile and blasphemous. This is the whore church of the end times, a harlot and an abomination. No, I won't be joining churches together. And on a, they wouldn't have me anyway. And on her forehead, her name was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered greatly. And the angel said to me, why do you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and ten horns. They are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. But when he does come, he must remain for a little while. The beast who once was and now is not is an eighth king. He belongs to the seven and is going to destruction. And then this is Revelation 17, verse 10. There are seven kings, rather, and they, the seven heads, are seven kings. They have a double significance, standing both for the seven mountains and the seven kings. Only one king, the seventh king, lies in the future, and his rule will be for a short time. Antichrist is out there now, I'm sure, awaiting his call. Only one king in the future, and that's Antichrist. This refers to the rule of the beast kingdom, who will come up from the abyss, rule for 1 hour with 10 kings, and then go to destruction. The beast is more than just the seventh king. He's also an eighth king because he is and has always been the power behind the seven kings, his seven heads. As the second member of the dragon's unholy trinity, he is greater than merely the sum of his heads. Fornication in this case means unfaithfulness to God. Ezekiel 16 has a denunciation of Jerusalem for her unfaithfulness. As a wife that commits adultery, Jerusalem embraced idolatry and alliances with pagan nations. Even now, there's paganism in Israel. You'd be surprised at some of the things that go on. The city on seven hills is like Jerusalem in claiming a special relationship with God. Rome claims to have replaced Jerusalem. That's replacement theology, of course. The Vatican has made many alliances with godly earthly leaders. Here's another picture I got, the EU, shown as the woman riding the beast. Here's a German magazine I picked up on a flight, and I looked at it, and there it was, Der Spiegel, the big news magazine in Germany, showing the Marianne, who represents the French Revolution, the woman riding the beast, the society of the end times, and there she is. Spot the Eurostars. Here's a Catholic image of Mary. There she is. The Eurostars around her. That's why I don't like them on cars. And we issued a stamp showing the woman riding the beast. This is a British stamp. There she is again. It goes through all of lots and lots of things. And right at the start, when the first talks took place in Breisach in Germany, to actually discuss the formation of the new, what became the European Union. They put up a statue, and here it is, and it represents, they said, the beginnings of a new Europe. There is a spirit behind the EU. It's a spiritual entity. A lot of people only talk about the politics of the EU. Oh, what are we going to get out of the Brexit? Will we all agree on the fishing or whatever? Utterly irrelevant compared to the spiritual truth behind it. The spirit, this is what they said. This is what they say they are. The new Babylon, the woman riding the beast, and the spirit behind the EU. This was erected by the founders of the EU. And they got a plaque outside, which was actually taken by two members of this church who are no longer with us. And this is what it said, translated. Europe reaches for the stars. Greek mythology tells of Zeus' transformation into a bull. On his back, he carries the king's daughter, Europa, from the east, westward, to the land called after her. As if rising through the waves of the sea, the bull rises through the stones of the paved plaza. Europa's hands, feet, and motion symbolize the beginnings of a new Europe. Breisach is where this sculpture stands, where the earliest discussions took place, leading eventually to the Treaty of Rome, note the name, that lay the EU foundation stones. Treaty of Rome, isn't that interesting? Where was it held, I wonder? It was held at the Vatican, at the invitation of the Pope. Soon after came the common market, then the EU, which aims to dominate world trade. Don't forget, America is on a downward spiral at the moment. It's got a lot of problems. Have a whole lot more in November. The leading figures of the common market and the European Union, as far as I can find out, have all been Catholics. Some have been fast-tracked to sainthood. When John wrote down the Revelation, the Roman Empire was spreading false religion, polluting the nations with idolatry and persecuting the church. Evangelical Christianity has been described in a debate on religion in the EU as a cult, not a cult, but a cult. And I thought that was interesting again, because everywhere, the Catholic Church is very ecumenical until it gets power, and then watch out, you do as you're told. And look at religion in countries where the Catholic Church holds sway, and there isn't a lot of freedom of religion. In Europe, the Roman Empire has returned with the EU. And this is what the then president of the European Commission said at a press conference. Sometimes I like to compare the EU to the organization of an empire. We have a dimension of empire. They're saying all this, not me. Roman Catholicism is the biggest cult of all. You know, we wrote the book, Cults and Isms, True or False, and Pat, as an ex-Catholic, wrote the book on Catholicism. Some books avoid this, or even accept the Catholic Church as Christian. It is not. Most Catholics are not born again. They can be, and they often are, but mostly they're not. There may be Christians, and of course there are, in the Catholic Church, but they should be on their way out of it if they're genuine. That goes for the Church of England too, and a lot of other so-called churches. The Catholic Council of Trent says this: anyone who believes he is saved by grace through faith alone is condemned to hell for eternity. So there we are, that's their canon number 9. Ephesians 2, the word of God contradicts this. Verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. Yes, it is through faith alone. Mary is the, how are all these religions going to come together? Again, I've been watching this for decades, and it's quite obvious that they were using Mary, the Mariam of Islam, to merge the religions. Most of Islam is going to be neutered in the coming years with different wars and things. Psalm 83 war and the Ezekiel 38-39 problem that they're going to have. I think a lot of the Islamic nations are going to be reduced to very pitiful states, actually. And those that are left will merge with the Catholic Church, which is already making a lot of inroads into the worshippers of Islam, because they've got Mary in common. Mariam is revered in Islam. And Catholics are asking Muslims living in Italy to visit Marian shrines there. You cross America, it's full of Marian shrines, by the way, Our Lady of the Rocks or whatever. There are Marian shrines in Muslim countries, especially Syria. Mary is mentioned in several surahs, the chapters of the Quran, as the mother of Jesus. But the Quran declares that God has no son. It's utterly contradictory all the way through, by the way. And they sent this to, when I was running a newspaper, they sent this to us, Our Lady of Walsingham. And paraded through the streets of England, a horrible, obnoxious, occultic statue. The second commandment in the Catholic Jerusalem Bible. But few read the Bible. The Catholic Catechism leaves out number 2. It splits number 10 into 2 commandments to make them add up to 10. So there we are, graven images. And the churches overall have agreed in the past that the Pope has overall authority. This is most of the major denominations of the world, by the way. The EU is at the forefront of all this. They put out this poster saying that we're all one faith, we're all one world, we're all in it together. And their slogan said, we can all share the same star. If you look on it, there's every false religion and mishmash of religions that you can imagine. And we now have multi-faith prayer rooms at airports and so on, because the faiths are being blended together and blurred at the edges. The only people who actually know what they believe are the cultists, actually. I mean, they're probably more aware of their own beliefs than we are of our own beliefs here. Not in this church, but as a people. We're preparing the way for Antichrist, who will be very inclusive, subtle and crafty. He won't come in looking evil and horrible at first. There'll be no absolutes. Just smile and say, God, Allah, Isa, Brahma, Krishna, they all love you. And don't be narrow-minded and exclusive. That's horrible. You know, we must accept anything. We're not judgmental. Oh, yes, we are. Very judgmental. Because there is a choice to be made. That involves the biggest judgment anyone will ever make. Choose this day who you will serve. How long, halt you between two opinions. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. This was Elijah speaking in 1 Kings 18:21, as he faced 450 prophets of Baal. People today think they're going to be saved by being spiritual and meditating and going to yoga classes in their local church hall. Some churches have actually woken up and kicked them out, by the way. And they think, well, is this reincarnation? I was told that by my guru that I was his son in a previous incarnation. All this claptrap, you see. Mind you, he was a Confederate. He was a committed occultist and a committed liar as well. So, this is almost impossible. This is true. I promise. I wish I got a picture of this. On it, his car number plate was 666. We called him the Beast, but not in his presence, because he was a former heavyweight boxer. It wouldn't have been a good idea, you know. Anyway, I went to church regularly. Oh no, why didn't somebody warn me? This must be the right way. Just follow the crowd. No, the crowd is going over the edge, I'm afraid, to oblivion and a lifetime of torment. But a very few, comparatively, as a minority, there are millions, of course, but we're still a small minority, are going on that narrow pathway to the cross. What can we do? We can study and find out the truth, witness to those trapped in cults particularly, and get informed. We have a lot of material on our website that Pat and I write and get from other sources. We've got a daily news feed from the Jerusalem Post, from the Berean Call, from Creation, and Christian Institute. So a lot of people put articles on our website. So there's a lot of information there, and also back articles going hundreds and hundreds of things that we've done over the years, about 20 years. So there it is. You can look it up. It's all, and you can download whatever you like, of course. And we got the book with the cults and isms investigated and exposed, and not in our opinion, in the light of what the Word of God says. People's opinion doesn't matter so much as what the Word says. And if the Word says it's wrong, it's wrong. Whatever I think or anyone else thinks. So there we go. Yeah. Are they true or are they false? We know the truth, but the world needs to know it as well. So if you can, I think it's a good idea. Get some copies of these talks by us and by those of us who speak here, and distribute them, because the world doesn't know this. They need to know it. And the time is short for them to come to the knowledge of the truth. They haven't got much time. And that's the end of Man Smith's Rule of the Earth, coming shortly, and of this presentation. There we are.